Welcome to the Musaria Podcast, where we discuss issues of personal finance, investment, and entrepreneurship. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the investment strategy of NBA legend Kobe Bryant, particularly his investment strategy after he retired from his great basketball career. As a basketball fan, Kobe Bryant is considered by many to be one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I personally consider Kobe Bryant to be the second greatest basketball player of all time. I'm a very big LeBron James fan. I did follow Michael Jordan's great career during his prime in the 90s. Michael Jordan was my favorite player of that era, and I consider him to be the greatest of all time. A lot of people who love LeBron James consider LeBron to be the second greatest player of all time, but I'm quick to admit that Kobe Bryant was actually better than LeBron James. So Kobe Bryant was drafted into the NBA in 1996 at the age of 17. I remember way back in my high school days reading the Guinness Book of Records. People like Kobe Bryant and Jermaine O'Neal were considered to be the youngest ever basketball players to enter into the NBA. At the time that he entered the NBA, there weren't many players that went straight from high school straight into the pros, because a lot of the top high school players go directly into the best college basketball programs, the league that they call the NCAA. While different sports analysts differ in their opinion on how they rank Kobe Bryant among the list of the greatest players of all time, Kobe Bryant's playing style was quite similar to Michael Jordan. You know, I kind of had a love and hate thing going on with Kobe Bryant as a teenager because I used to be a Michael Jordan lover as a kid. I saw Michael Jordan dominate the NBA. So when Kobe was really coming up and making headlines, in my mind, I was like, who on earth is this Afro kid trying to sound like Michael Jordan? You know, he used to chew bubble gum like Michael Jordan. He used to play like Michael Jordan. His jump shot, his fadeaway, his moves, his offensive game. I mean, even the way he spoke to the media was very similar to Michael Jordan. And I could really tell that he was a very big fan of his. Over a 20-year career, Kobe Bryant went on to win 5 NBA championships. I mean, by any measure, that's really exceptional. Because, I mean, Michael Jordan won 6 championships and 5 is just, I mean, it's just really amazing. Even though I used to like Michael Jordan and LeBron James and be a Kobe Bryant hater, I really used to admire Kobe Bryant's work ethic as a player. He was the kind of guy, he would get up at 2 a.m., train at like 4 a.m., train at 6 a.m., have another session at 8 a.m. And this would be between working on his personal game and working on conditioning. As we all know, Kobe Bryant died in a tragic helicopter crash in January 26, 2020, at the age of 41, alongside his daughter Gianna. The news of Kobe Bryant's death really shocked the world. It really reminded all of us that Kobe Bryant's impact was really beyond basketball. You know, his determination, his work ethic, and his discipline was really an inspiration to everybody. And it was an inspiration to people way beyond the world of basketball. I mean, even if you're in the world of business or whatever you did, when you listen to Kobe Bryant's interview talking about his discipline, his determination, it really inspired you at whatever you did, even if you weren't his fan. Kobe had a really successful basketball career. He retired at the age of 38, and I remember in 2016, he scored 60 points in his last game, and I mean, it just blew everybody away. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 38 years old. He got into the NBA in 1996 as a teenager, and he was playing against athletes who probably got into the NBA or probably weren't even born when he got into the NBA, and he was outperforming them, outscoring them at the age of 38. I mean, that's really amazing. Even though I wasn't really a big Kobe Bryant fan, I really did feel like when he retired, he left a very big hole in the NBA. You know, even if you weren't his fan, the amount of intense competition that he brought into the game, he brought this intensity and excitement to the NBA that was really missed by the time he retired. One thing that impressed me about Kobe Bryant was, besides the game of basketball, he was also very disciplined in other areas outside of basketball, in particular, his personal finances. So according to Forbes, Kobe Bryant's total career earnings were $680 million during the life of his career. So from the $680 million, about $350 million came from endorsement earnings, as in other brands that he endorsed like Sprite, Adidas, and Nike at some point. And about $330 million were earnings from his NBA career, like his salary as a basketball player. And Kobe Bryant lived in California throughout his whole career, and he was part of a very high tax bracket as an NBA player. So with total career earnings of $680 million, Kobe Bryant's net worth by the time he died was $600 million. So by any standard, this showed that Kobe Bryant did a really good job at saving and investing his money and ensuring that his net worth was quite healthy. Because a lot of players end up having net worths that are below their career earnings, which is a sign that they haven't done a very good job with their earnings. I know an example of Joe Smith. He at some point was an NBA star drafted in 1995. And late last year, he did make headlines because he had financial troubles, and that did really impact his marriage negatively. There are a lot of NBA players that end up bankrupt after they retire because a lot of these guys sometimes focus on their craft as an athlete, but they don't really pay attention to the financial side of things. A lot of the people don't realize how short their careers are, and by the time they retire, their earnings are not going to be the same. So I'm going to play an interview from 2016 on CNBC of Kobe Bryant alongside his partner Jeff Stibble after he retired, talking about his financial and investment strategy. So Kobe Bryant and Jeff Stibble formed the Bryant-Stibble joint venture. This is like a venture capital, and they invest in businesses. So let's listen to this clip, and after that, we'll come back and react to it.
Kobe, one of the things that fascinated me, you have skin in the game. So you saved your money. Oh, yeah. You did well, and then you invested. Any advice for a lot of athletes now coming out who get paid, say, big endorsements, and they seem broke in a couple of years?
Yeah, well, because here's the problem. You know, once you retire, you don't have that source of income that's coming in, right? So even if you save over a 15-year career, if your spending habits remain the same, eventually that well's going to run dry, right? So unfortunately for us athletes, retirement age is 32, 34, if you're lucky, 37 like myself. What comes next? Right, so the question needs to be, what comes next? What can I do? What is my passion? Not where I can create the most value or generate the most revenue, but what is my next passion? When you find that next passion, everything else will make sense. But that's the hardest part for us.
Now, I know that Scopely used video games. I think video games are actually the hottest part of technology. And the chips that go into video games make it so it's lifelike. This will be what, like NBA 2K for some TV shows that have characters?
It could be.
Absolutely.
Absolutely could be.
Are you getting good at reading balance sheets and income statements?
No, I'm getting better at it, but it is not my strength. Right? So, for example, when Jeff and I sat around and said, okay, we should do this company, his mind automatically went to operations. Yep. Mine went to story, logo, and right. So we just went different ways.
We're a team.
Right? Same in at the core, which is two different sides of the brain.
I got to ask this. How, just as a person, I mean, I've idolized you from the days you came out of Lower Merion, okay, from the Aces. How can you be so humble? Honest to God. I mean, listen to what he asked you a question, and you could have said, yeah, I'm getting good at it, but no, you just said, I'm a student.
Yeah.
That's just been your way.
But I mean, but we have to constantly learn. I mean, that's why our mantra is value growth, because to grow, you have to constantly learn. You have to constantly move, constantly improve. I mean, that's the key. That's what makes life fun, I think.
CEO you admire more than others?
CEO I admire more than others. Well, I work very, very closely with Mark Parker, and Mark has been a great mentor of mine for years. I mean, there's times where I can't sleep, and I'll shoot Mark a text message about, you know, I'm having trouble building this company here. What do you think about this, that, and the other? How did you do it? Right. And he gives me very detailed responses. So, you know, MP for me has been everything.
Does he
ever
sleep? I've shot an email to try to get Buck
Yeah.
Because Shoe Dog's such a great book. He comes back at me, he's a moral agent. I mean, that guy's on his game.
Yeah, he's always thinking. You know, he's a thinker. And you know what I love doing is cold calling people, getting their book list. What did you read? What did you learn? How did you learn it? You know, those are the questions.
LeBron's got a new show on our network called Cleveland Hustles.
Yes.
Any advice for him getting into the world of media?
Well, no advice really. I mean, it sounds like this is something that he loves to do and he's passionate about doing. I mean, that's really the key. You know, if you have the love to do it, you know, you'll be able to handle whatever bumps come your way. So I'm sure it'll be just fine.
Is it possible, I mean, when you do bring one of these companies public, do it here, okay? You don't ring the bell, it gets too exciting. We don't get a lot of big guys like this.
We're getting viewers asking, you know, can I get in on a B round? At what point do outside investors have a chance?
Yeah, I mean, look, right now, we're investing proudly our money. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to do it on our dime. At some point, we might raise money. We're not prepared to do that now. For some of these great companies, Jim said it best. Let's get them public, let's get them out there, and then people can buy on the public markets.
When you look at your career, all right, there's a lot of times when you had to carry a team. This seems like the old days, though, when you had the full panoply of guys at the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, because last few years, I thought you had to carry yourself.
But see, that's the beautiful part about business. Right, you're not restricted by salary cap regulations. Right, you know, the roster's not
careful.
Restricted.
We might have to start getting people raises.
You know, you get a chance to work with people that are that think the same way and have the same kind of passion. It makes for a beautiful environment.
So I found this interview kind of hilarious. It's like these guys are discussing financial matters, and you can see that the interviewer on CNBC is so starstruck. He's talking to one of the greatest basketball players of all time about, you know, serious financial matters. That part of it was really hilarious. But apart from that, there's some really interesting takeaways too from this. Kobe Bryant himself highlighted the fact that the average NBA career is really short. A lot of NBA players do retire and end up in very dire financial situations because they don't diversify. They sort of like expect to maintain the same lifestyle that they had when they had a high salary as an NBA player. And that really changes after you retire. It's really important to think what the next move is. That applies to any professional. Sometimes we spend so much time and invest most of our lives in one particular career. And after we retire, our incomes are going to change, and it doesn't hurt to like think of another strategy post that. I think that was a very smart move on his end. The move that Kobe Bryant made was to partner with Jeff Stibble to form a venture capital. Now, if you look at Jeff Stibble's background, he was one of the founders of Dun & Bradstreet. Dun & Bradstreet eventually got into mergers and acquisition, and today they are the credit bureau for businesses in the United States. So this is someone that's very well-versed, and he positioned himself very smartly by partnering with Jeff to establish the venture capital. The Bryant Stibble Venture Capital was founded in 2013. Kobe Bryant and Jeff Stibble invested $100 million of the personal funds into that venture capital. So the kind of businesses that they were investing in included technology businesses. They did mention video game companies. They invested in media, and they also invested in data companies. So this was sort of like a tech and media kind of company. And those normally are businesses that have a lot of growth potential. So how do venture capitals make money? Let me oversimplify. So venture capitals invest in businesses, specifically startup and businesses that are in early phases of growth that have a lot of potential to grow. So what do venture capitals look at? They look at the business model. Is the business model innovative and disruptive? Does it meet clients' needs in the ways that are disruptive in a way that shows a lot of potential for revenue growth? They look at the management team of the business. They look at the financial performance. And ultimately, what they want businesses that have the potential to increase in valuation. A business that's growing fast is likely to increase in its valuation. If you invest $50 in a business that has the potential to grow 20 times in valuation, that would mean that if you invest, let's say, $50,000 today, that means that that $50,000 can convert to $1 million in a couple of years because the business's valuation went up 20 times. So in this case, if you invest your money into a business or a startup that's growing a lot, and the business or startup increases the valuation 10, 20, 50 times, when you cash it out, you're going to cash out more money than you put in. That's your return on investment. In a nutshell, that's how venture capitals make money. The reality is a lot of businesses fail. A lot of startups fail. Or simply, a lot of startups don't achieve very impressive growth levels. So what ends up happening is that, let's say for every 10 great businesses that a venture capital invests in, maybe one or two are going to increase in valuation 10, 20, 30, 40 times more and really bring significant returns on investment. And maybe the other 9 or 10 are going to either fail or have very average growth that doesn't really produce impressive returns. So in that case, the one or two businesses that generate really high returns end up compensating for the other 9 or 8 businesses that have gotten average returns or even failed. Because obviously a business that fails is just giving you zero return. You're just not going to get your money back. So those superstar businesses make up for the average or the failed businesses. That's how it works. So I remember watching another interview by Kobe Bryant on the financial side of things. So Kobe Bryant's career average as a basketball player was something above 40% or 50% of field goal percentage. In other words, from the total time that he's attempted shots in the NBA, around 45% or over 50% of those shots were actually made, right? A lot of the shots were missed because, I mean, you're being guarded in the NBA by a bunch of really tall, super athletic people. So they asked him, okay, Kobe Bryant, your shooting percentage is around 45%. What do you feel about your shooting percentage going down to 5% as a venture capital partner? And Kobe Bryant was like, yeah, I got to increase that. In other words, the interviewer was saying, listen, man, the reality is the success rate for venture capitals and investing in businesses is much lower than it is for a basketball player. And that's a reality you need to digest. And to minimize that, you know, obviously the way the venture capitals vet the businesses needs to improve over time so they can get good returns on investment. Another cool lesson that we learn here is sort of like a leadership principle where people are allocated according to their strengths. So Kobe Bryant focused on the story and the narrative of the business while Jeff focused on the operations because he was obviously more savvy on the numbers side of things. He was better at looking at the business's numbers and evaluating from a numbers perspective. So, you know, that split of responsibilities was really smart, I believe. And another key takeaway was they made a lot of money by making a lot of these businesses public businesses. Jeff actually said in the interview that, you know, they put some of these businesses that they invest in onto the stock market. Because normally, let's say a private business, when they go to the stock market and they have a very successful IPO, initial purchase offering, the valuation and the share price of the business goes up. And that's where venture capitals and early investors immediately make a lot of money. So right there in that 4-minute interview, there's so many lessons, probably similar to any MBA class that we learned from Kobe Bryant and his partner. So in conclusion, I think there are three takeaways, three very big takeaways we need to take home and maybe apply in our lives. You know, number one, don't put a cap on yourself. You know, sometimes we're kind of wired to like focus on one skill. Let's say I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, or I'm this or I'm that. And we kind of like put ourselves in a box. Like, you know, if I studied law, I got to be a lawyer. That's all I can be. And life isn't really like that. I mean, a really great basketball player was on track to become a really great investor. And I believe had he been alive, he would have had a lot of successes as a startup, you know, investor, as a venture capital partner. Number two, it's really important to know that it's never too late to learn a new skill. Kobe Bryant actually didn't go to college. He went to high school. He went straight from high school to the MBA. He didn't get a college degree like a lot of people. But here he is making very smart, well, here he was making very smart investment decisions. And he learned a new skill. Even though he was in his late 30s at this time, he was learning to read balance sheets, learning to read and analyze businesses, evaluate businesses. And I believe that was a skill that was going to grow. After Kobe Bryant retired, I remember he also made animation clips and he actually won an Oscar for that. You know, he taught himself a new skill. That same determination that he had as a basketball player, he took that into the NBA and that was going to take him places. Last but not least, it's important to save and invest. You know, social media, the social media world that we live in, is going to really pressure you to live, to keep up a certain image, to portray a certain lifestyle on social media. And most of the time, that's a big fat lie. All it's going to drive you is into a high spending lifestyle. It's always important to save and invest. I'm not saying that leisure is not important. Do take your family on vacation. Do have a good time. You know, do set a budget aside to have fun and stuff. But it's always important to save and invest. Save and invest. That will enable you to have a comfortable retirement. So I hope this was a blessing to you. Please do share this. Do leave a comment. And speak to you next time in the next episode. I was a lost soul, just looking for a life to live. But nothing came close to the freedom I found today. Now I'm trying to go hard, so I can tell the world about his love. Get him all to trust God, cause pretty soon the gate is closing up.